The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's Monday.
It's February 10th.
And the word of the day is Yule Hole, which means the furthest notch on your belt that you need to resort to at Christmas. Used in a sentence, in order to avoid Yule Hole anxiety, I got a ratchet belt so I can get analog thicker during any big eating day all year.
Topicality is for people enslaved by big calendar, damn it.
Thank you, yes. And now I have a new term during my Santa role play, so thank you, Heath.
There you go. Got it. I'm No Illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright. Broadcasting delayed from America's Far Center, we are the Skeptocrats.
On this week's episode, the first month of Trump's second term is awfully terrific.
I'll remind Canada that they've got more experience burning down the White House than anybody.
And hot tea is good sometimes, like chamomile. I don't know.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, I don't fucking know. We're going to talk about current events. You want to make a noise to capture it for a start?
Maybe a...
All right, nailed it.
The Daily should do that too.
Really, honestly. In our lead story tonight, when trying to pin down candidate Trump's actual intentions should he regain the White House beyond petty vengeance, the best that most reporters could get was a reference to the near magical ability of tariffs to cure all ills. Trump declared tariffs his favorite word, and he promised that they would lower the cost of living, revitalize American manufacturing, secure the U.S. border, and make you flexible enough to suck your own dick. And all of those claims are equally true, regardless of whether or not you have a dick, which is something that Trump, I mean, I'm not going to say learned in reference to Donald Trump, but confronted. Sure. I guess, when his effort to slap 25% tariffs on goods from Mexico and Canada managed to implode before he even implemented them.
All right. I guess it's back to having income tax instead of just the tariffs.
Damn it.
Whatever.
Yeah. Damn it.
I'd like to say he's like the kid who starts a snowball fight and then cries when he gets hit for the first time, but he literally started a trade war and then took his ball and went home. So it seems wasted, right? It seems like a wasted metaphor.
Yeah, no, it's like he's trying to make the first snowball. His hands get cold and he cries and goes home, right? So, yeah, so Trump had been promising these tariffs throughout the campaign. And on the Saturday before last, he made it official-ish. He said that with a very few exceptions, he intended to add a 25% tariff on all goods entering the country from Mexico or Canada, which would go into effect the following Tuesday. And then markets opened on Monday and they responded by absolutely cratering until Trump had no choice but to reverse his order. Of course, since he just made up pretenses for the tariffs in the first place, he was equally able to just make up solutions to those imaginary problems. So he declared victory over his shoulder as he was retreating.
Yeah, he got hit in the face with a snowball by the stock market, to
yes.
be clear. And then he ran home and explained to his mom that he's a master negotiator while he was ugly crying about the snowball.
Yeah, right, right.
My thinking was that if he lowered all the stocks to the price of Truth Social, then he just owns part of the economy.
Oh, there
right?
you go. Like it's a, yeah, you know, right.
Long term.
Now, officially, the reasons he gave for the tariffs were immigration in Mexico's case and fentanyl smuggling in Canada's case, a complaint at least somewhat undercut by the fact that I'm pretty sure we smuggle more fentanyl into Canada than they smuggle back.
USA!
But,
USA!
Right? Yeah, thank you. But after wrestling cosmetic concessions from Mexico and convincing Canada to already have passed a new border security law in December, Trump decided to benevolently pause those tariffs for 30 days. And though hardly a solution to the idiot man-baby holding the economy hostage to his 18th century understanding of international trade, it was enough to at least calm the markets down.
I'd like the fact that our president never made it past the first half of the social studies lesson on mercantilism to matter for more than one morning in our economy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, don't worry.
I feel like it's already priced in to some extent. Like, every hedge fund has a whiteboard somewhere that says something along the lines of, okay, extra help in middle school history, but also giant tax cuts for, you know, us rich people and big corporations. I think we're all going to kind
of
watch that.
On balance, yeah. Now, of course, Canada and Mexico weren't the only targets of Trump's tariff bullshit. He also increased tariffs on China by 10%. And apparently he's holding fast on that one, or he's holding fast on most of it anyway, for now, because apparently it's proved harder to implement than expected because everybody that works in his administration is a fucking idiot. So part of Trump's move was to end what's called a de minimis exemption on Chinese goods. It exempts all Chinese goods worth less than $800 from tariffs because the cost of enforcing those tariffs is greater than the money you would collect from them. Right? Like, consider the number of $14 Temu packages entering this country every day. So with no mechanism to collect the extra $1.40 off of those packages, the Postal Service announced last Tuesday that it would just stop accepting packages from China altogether.
You guys picturing the president of China at the post office while they ask him if each individual package contains batteries or alcohol?
No, it's 8 million... airplane bottles of olive oil. Just send it to Italy first, and then the
there
US
you go.
All good.
Yeah. So
I do not want insurance.
Yeah. So now this pause on Chinese packages, it lasted about as long as Trump's Canadian and Mexican tariffs did, and within 12 hours, the post office had reversed course and promised that they'd worked something out. Now they gave no indication of what they could have worked out or how the fuck they possibly could have done that in 12 goddamn hours. But they insisted it's not that they just gave up on Trump's idiotic dictate because it was unworkable nonsense. It's not that. China's paying something or whatever.
Let me get like $30.
Yeah, he needs about $250. Yeah. Now, and look.
Just till Monday. When I crash the economy.
Yeah, right, right. So look. Those inclined to defend his idiocy will point out that Trump is just using these tariffs as a bargaining chip anyway, and even getting cosmetic concessions for a bargaining chip that you just conjured out of thin air is a good thing, right? The assertion here is that because the U.S. walks into these trade negotiations with more weight to throw around than whoever they're throwing it at, it'll always be in the best interest of our trading partners to kowtow to our bully-in-chief. But the problem, as Canada was quick to demonstrate, is that people don't like a fucking bully. And sometimes they are willing to endure suffering of their own just to make sure the bully doesn't get what he wants. And since the bully never intended to implement the fucking tariffs, and in fact can't without committing political suicide, the instant somebody pushes back, they show everybody just how impotent that bully is.
Yeah, I do love that Canada's initial response was big tariffs on red and purple state stuff, specifically like bourbon and fucking bootstraps and gumption, whatever they produce there, I don't know, just to fuck with specifically Trump voters. That was
fucking Canada's response was perfect. And by the way, if all of this talk about eating crow has you hungry, you should check out this ad for our first sponsor this week, Factor. You wanted to see me, Mr. President?
Finally, Tyler, we're starving here, buddy. Come on.
I'm literally about to eat Melania. I do wish, Filet-O-Fish.
I told you guys, you don't need me to call McDonald's. Just use the app.
What's a hop?
Never mind. Honestly, guys, it would be better if you just tried Factor.
Wait, what's Factor?
Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian-approved and ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes so you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you.
Like time-traveling assassins, I get a lot of those.
Yeah, sure.
But, Tyler, don't those meal boxes get kind of semi?
Not Factor. With 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu every week, it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. Choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto.
No, I mean like the boxes themselves. They are all cardboard, no?
Well, you're not supposed to eat the box.
You sound like my dad.
Eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/skeptocrat50off and use the code skeptocrat50off to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's code skeptocrat50off at factormeals.com/skeptocrat50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
All right, TIE Fighter, that sounds great, but I still want my D's.
You got it, sir. I'll call.
Ooh, use the Nazi one. Those guys love me.
That, again, sir, that is not what the Uber in Uber Eats is referring to.
Yes, that's true. And we're back. Next up in headlines in Iran So Far Away News. I am well aware that No Illusions and I are the only two human beings who enjoyed Christopher Nolan's time-hopping caper, Tenet.
It was so fucking good.
I know. I loved it.
I liked it.
Good. adjust that intro, goddammit.
Goddammit. Hell yeah. We've got an ally, Ethan. Right.
I thought was it was that a hated movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought people hated that thing.
Pretty fucking cool.
Most people did.
All
right.
Thank you. You know what? On this podcast, it fucking rocked, and that's all that matters. But even true believers like me, Heath Enright and No Illusions, have to now admit that the plot point in the movie where the billionaire has attached the universe-ending bomb to his own heartbeat so that everything and everyone dies if he does is a little silly. And while I won't claim that Donald Trump has seen Tenet, he did announce a pretty similar plan in case he's ever assassinated by Iran this week, so perhaps it's not as silly a plot point as I originally said it was.
Just every time he's doing a negotiation, I have a grenade. Is that something? I'm going to slide it across. Yeah. I saw this in a movie. I feel like I have power because of this, right?
Yeah, no, as stupid as this asshole is, he probably just accidentally implanted a thing that stops his heart if Tehran explodes or something. Yeah.
Right, so this particular Bond monologue level threat came during a press conference during which Trump signed an executive order to apply maximum pressure to Iran to discontinue their nuclear program. As we know by now, Trump executive orders come in three overlapping flavors, terrifying, useless, and not illegal yet. This one appears to be the latter two, because while the U.S. and its allies have been working on keeping nukes out of the hands of Iran for decades, I had not heard that what was missing at this point was maximum pressure to do so.
Okay, new executive order. Write this down. Whereas I'm going to count to three, I'm done. Great. Tell Iran.
Yeah, two and a half. Yeah, I want to be clear that foreign relations are in the purview of the executive branch. He's the executive branch. He's executively ordering himself to go harder on Iran.
Maximally.
Whereas, maximally. Remind me, whereas.
Right, so he's having some fun little pen time. Seems to be how Tyler keeps him occupied these days. And a reporter asks him about the rumored assassination plots against him as retaliation for the Trump-ordered assassination of General Qasem Soleimani in 2020. To which he replied the following quote.
If they did that, they would be obliterated. That would be the end. I've left instructions. If they do it, they get obliterated. There won't be anything left. And they shouldn't be able to do it. And Biden should have said that, but he never did. Okay. I didn't. I don't know why. Lack of intelligence, perhaps? End quote.
Okay, one more. EO, take away Biden's security detail. Add one more thing. Not because of murder. Just
regular. Right. Donald Trump, your people don't listen to your orders when you're alive, motherfucker. Don't you? Not sure how well you've thought this through, but I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, so no word on why Biden didn't say, if you kill Donald Trump, I'll blow up your whole country. might be because that's crazy and illegal.
Well, I feel like it's because that's what we do, and everybody just, like, see entire country of Afghanistan.
Right,
like,
yeah.
No announcement needed on that.
Sometimes you could just be a country nearby.
Yeah.
Or maybe Biden just feels the same way so many of us do about Donald Trump being alive. Either way, Donald's got a plan, and it just happens to be the same one someone usually announces before Batman kicks them out a window. So, you know, it's like...
And in DEIDA news, AIDA's an opera, the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, did not spend $47,000 on a trans opera in the country of Colombia. What? Solid question. If you're not closely following the muzzle velocity endowed lying spree from the White House press briefings, you might be surprised to learn that I am not having a stroke, and what I just said is actually relevant to the news, and we will circle back to that insane detail. But the big picture news that you probably have heard about is Donald Trump's attempted shutdown of all government spending, except the stuff he likes, by illegal executive order. That includes education, basic infrastructure, clean energy projects, medical care, international humanitarian projects like USAID, and of course, anything adjacent to diversity, equity, and or inclusion.
He also got rid of 17 inspectors general who might police any, I don't know, rampant abuses of power that might pop up, whatever. And the mass shutdown that he did is being carried out with the surgical precision of a nuclear warhead made of fucking chainsaws by Elon Musk and the Department of Governmental Efficiency, or DOGE, which apparently employs a large team of unvetted 20-something incel sycophants with no friends. So that's okay. Cool. They have a lot of power now.
But can we just take a moment to have some sympathies for the revolution these days, right? Grandma got to seduce and poison the deadly officers of the SS. And what, I'm supposed to put a men's rights activist in a chokehold while he sexts his AI girlfriend? Come on!
So, Eli, I have already said this off air, but if you want to seduce and poison a Nazi, you do so with my blessing, okay?
I've tried. I keep trying. My bake sale, it's because it's vegan. Problem. Doing a vegan bake sale.
So
for Nazis.
All right. So what the fuck did I say about a trans opera in Colombia?
I was wondering. I'm so glad you came back to that.
Back. I said that USAID did not spend $47,000 to produce that. But that opera is actually a thing that happened. And we learned about it during a lying conference by White House press liar Caroline Leavitt. After USAID fell victim to the DOGE, she told reporters that USAID is extremely wasteful and said they spent, quote, $70,000 for production of a DEI musical in Ireland, $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia, and $32,000 for a transgender comic in Peru. Again, those are real things that sound pretty amazing, but the amount spent by USAID on those things was $0.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what $0. Those were all grants from the State Department that people, I guess, can complain about if they want. But those grants have nothing to do with the discussion of shutting down USAID, which is an excellent thing that we do.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, that mostly spends its money on food for starving people and medicine for people with AIDS. Yeah, wait till these assholes hear about the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That's really going to freak them out.
Okay, but I would love for anyone to explain to me what a DEI musical is. Without using a slur. I don't think you can do it.
That's a challenge.
I don't think you can.
So, just for the record, arguments about getting rid of USAID would need to center around one's desire to improve the strategic economic landscape for China by ending USAID programs that foster U.S. relationships with countries around the world in terms of shipping and trade, thus competing with China. Or you'd need to make a case for bumping up the numbers for, you know, AIDS and Ebola in the world.
Yep.
Like, I'm sure RFK Jr. would handle a pandemic just fine. Not worried about that. But that's not really the point. We just made the world a worse place, and we're in that world. Like, even if you're a giant asshole and all that matters to you is a selfish motive for America, still super dumb what we did. Well, we got a tiny bit of good news about this. Maybe for now. On Friday, a federal judge blocked the Trump administration from placing more than 2,000 employees of USAID on leave. The order came from U.S. District Judge Carl J. Nichols, who was actually appointed by Trump, and he's at least calling a timeout while we figure out if, in fact, a South African Nazi is allowed to shut down an entire government agency that's already been funded by Congress, because that's how money works in the United States, theoretically. So it's tricky legal stuff. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Noah pointed this out the other day when we were like chatting off air, but the fact that he won't be able to do any of the insane things he's unilaterally declaring doesn't make it any less terrifying that he's trying to do those things.
Yeah, to be clear, slight correction. I never said he wouldn't be able to do any of the insane things he's trying. Like, I think he'll be able to do most of them, to be fair. There are no laws when nobody has the guts to enforce them. But yeah,
fair, yeah.
Point still
that
stands.
That is how it works. And while we're on the subject of governmental waste, I wanted to mention just a few things. I'm trying to come up with ways to keep those Irish musicals and Colombian operas going.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start with an expenditure during Trump's first term of $31,561 for a dining room set at the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
I remember
that included a mahogany table, 10 chairs with velvet upholstery, a sideboard, and a hutch. I'm not clear on what those last two things exactly are, but they're part of a dining room set.
I didn't know that he got the hutch. I thought it was just a table. Okay, this is a much better
deal.
Yeah,
there was a hutch in there, apparently. Yeah. That was all for Ben Carson, by the way, who is
head of the department at the time, and he needed the dining room set for his office. Apparently he was doing some sort of showcase showdown in there. I don't know. That led to an investigation, and Carson eventually got cleared of any wrongdoing by the Inspector General of the HUD. But that Inspector General doesn't exist right now. So maybe that's a good place to save some money this time around. I don't know. All right, well, here's another one. This wasn't a federal expenditure, but it still might help. It's money. A little over a year ago, Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders used $19,000 of government money to buy something called a Falcon-style lectern. A blogger uncovered that with FOIA requests, and when the governor's office noticed those requests coming through, they started trying to cover up the purchase, and then they got caught doing the cover-up by the same blogger doing more FOIA requests.
Dumbasses.
The whole thing got named Podiumgate, and when asked about the lectern that cost about the same as a brand new Toyota Corolla, she said, "It has a number of features." That's the whole thing. So that 19 grand can't be saved from the federal budget, but Donald knows Sarah personally. I'm thinking she could sell it used and we could pay for something. Maybe something small. Like, I don't know, like one gay song from Luxembourg or something like that.
Yeah. For the record, if I had ever written a sketch as funny as Sarah Huckabee Sanders wants a Falcon lectern for our show, I would never stop talking.
Give me the Falcon lectern.
Yeah, there's so much. It writes itself.
Yep.
It's a Peregrine. It's the fastest lectern ever. Give it a place to land. You're not giving it a place to land. Brought this on yourselves.
I'm just picturing Sarah with the giant gauntlet and absolute lands.
So I imagine just giant wings off the side of it, right? That like flare back like an old 50s roadster or something.
Do you think her and RFK Jr. ever falconed together?
No question.
That's a really gross thing to picture, Heath.
Sure hope nobody sends me a sext. I'm going to jump into the river. Oopsie poopsie, I dropped my falconing glove.
I wish I was the one who got shot. Shot sounds awesome right now.
That's how he sounds. You don't get to be mad because that's how he sounds. He's
a
bad guy.
And he's evil. He's like a terrible,
evil guy. Yeah, he's a
bad guy.
We're allowed to do things about how they sound when they're bad. All
right. It would be bigoted to leave it out, honestly, if you think about it.
Yeah, go listen to Tate. You want serious people? Go listen to Tate.
We do Trump's voice. We do Sarah's voice.
In Central Park. All right, so I found a bit more money, by the way. It's at Mar-a-Lago and at the Trump hotels and the Trump golf courses. According to a nonprofit watchdog called Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, during Trump's first term...
Tough year for them. They're really fucking stuff.
During Trump's first term, the Secret Service spent about $2 million of taxpayer money at Trump's properties because he refused to live in the fucking White House and spent about a quarter of his presidency playing golf at his own courses almost exclusively. He stayed at his own properties 550 times, along with Secret Service and other staff. So that's like 42 and a half trans operas right there. That's a lot.
Okay, imagine how hard it has to be the guy securing Trump's golf course.
Right.
You're just like, oh, these holes in the fence? Those are to let the air in.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, this is Bill Murray. We've hired him to take care of the rodent problem here. So.
Okay, and just one other small one. I was brainstorming. Jared Kushner's equity firm got $2 billion from the Saudi crown prince right after Trump left office.
Oh, huh.
I'm sure it was completely unrelated to nepotism for Trump's son-in-law there. Again, not federal money, but that's like 42,533 trans operas. Plus, like half a Falcon lectern with at least one feature.
Sure.
We got to find the money somewhere, is what I'm saying.
Or, hey, maybe we could handle it on the other side of the equation, right? Like, for example, I know a richest guy in the world who paid no income tax in 2018.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a good one. And look, okay, I want to be fair. When Elon Musk talks about wasteful spending by the federal government, there's definitely some truth to it. And even when the spending is justified and supporting a good cause, it's infantilizing. Getting a bunch of federal money means you're weak and you can't succeed
in a meritocracy.
Does it?
Like, for example, when Tesla got $465 million from the Department of Energy as a low-interest loan to help them out. And then they got about $3.4 billion more in the form of federal tax credits for people buying electric vehicles. That ended in 2019, but then started again in 2023, so the number's actually even higher. And of course, they've sold about $10 billion in carbon credits as part of the federal government's cap and trade program. And now the guy who profited most from all those handouts is trying to burn the bridge behind him that American taxpayers built for him.
Sure is.
Ridiculous. All right, on that note, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, Trust and Will. Okay, but after your trust goes into probate, who do you want to then take possession of the trust's new assets?
Dude, what are you talking about?
I'm reading the thing.
Hey, guys. What's with all the brouhaha?
Sorry, the brouhaha?
I'm switching it up.
Okay, fine. I'm helping Eli with his will, but he's being super cagey.
Heath won't tell me who a person in situ is.
I told you to Google it.
Guys, creating a trust and will can be a very slow, time-consuming process. Why don't you just use trust and will?
What's trust and will?
Trust and will makes creating your will easy and time efficient, meaning you can focus on other important tasks. And right now, you can get 10% off at trustandwill.com/skeptocrat.
It's true. I tried Trust and Will when they became a sponsor, and I was so impressed by how easy it was, I used it to set up my mom as well.
Wait, then why are we doing this?
Oh, I just felt like hanging out.
You tried to stab me twice in this conversation.
With Trust and Will, their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. Plus, live customer support is available through phone, chat, and email.
Amazing!
With a knife.
Uncomplicate the process with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/skeptocrat and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/skeptocrat.
All right, great. So, Eli, if you want to hang out, we can do something else.
Like...
Don't say stabbing. You're stabbing me. You're stabbing
talk
me.
Talk faster. Right, you talk too slow.
And we're back. Next up in headlines in executive disorder news. Donald Trump is evil and his administration is evil, and he's basically demonstrating that evil in listicle form through a series of executive orders. Nearly all of which are of dubious legality at best. And if you were to try to pick the most evil out of his list of, I guess it was 47 as of the time of the writing,
it's
anyway.
53 now,
it's
I
53,
think.
Yeah, you added a few. So if you had to look at the 53 executive orders and decide which was the most evil, it's probably going to be quite a challenge. But you may well land on EO 14187 based on its title alone. Protecting children from chemical and surgical mutilation. And as you may have guessed, the intent of this bill has nothing whatsoever to do with protecting children from mutilation and everything to do with increasing the rates of child suicide. But in the barest glimmer of hope amid this deluge of fascist bigotry, we learned late last week that attorneys general in Washington, Oregon, and Minnesota have sued to stop that one from taking effect.
When the bad guys take over the planet in sci-fi movies and stuff, we don't see nearly as much time in court
right?
as we're seeing in real life.
Okay, what the fuck are the other 47 AGs doing? Or at least the other, like, 22 non-bigot
yeah,
AGs.
Right.
I know you're busy. I know you're super busy with EOs for 53 insane fascisms at the same time, but... You have to deal with all of them.
God, multitask.
A paralegal on Fiverr. I don't know. Post one of those things in the supermarket with the tear-off numbers at the bottom. Whatever you got to do.
Need all the help we can get. Yeah. So this whole order is just an Orwellian exercise in transphobia. Its opening premise, its fucking whereas is, quote, across the country today, medical professionals are maiming and sterilizing a growing number of impressionable children under the radical and false claim that adults can change a child's sex through a series of irreversible medical interventions, end quote. Or, when stripped of its lies, misleading statements, and hyperbolic exaggerations, quote, across the country today, medical professionals are... End quote.
Yeah.
And what it seeks to do is deny gender-affirming care to children at all costs.
Right. Gender-affirming care that, I will remind you, every major medical organization agrees is life-saving.
Yep.
Which,
doesn't matter. That's true.
Really, also, yes.
We're just doing all the medicine, life-saving or hangnail. If a doctor's like, this is good medicine, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
They're all, we're doing them.
Yeah, so the EO offers up a couple of different mechanisms to enact their bigotry. One of them, the one most relevant to this lawsuit, is that they want to deny all funding, including Medicare reimbursements, to any institution that provides gender-affirming care to kids. And that's definitely illegal. Because look, over the last few years, more than half of U.S. states have enacted laws that do block this kind of care for kids. That's plenty fucked up. The direct result of that is more suicides. But critically, a lot of states also haven't. And there's no national law against it. So what Trump is very clearly trying to do is circumvent the legislature and create a de facto law through funding.
Right. And whether or not that works doesn't mean that we shouldn't treat the people trying to pass these laws the way we would treat any other attempted child murderers.
Yep.
I'll let you guys figure that out.
Couldn't agree more. Now
I'm just going to hit mute while we brainstorm.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. So that's
I didn't like that Skeptocrat ended when there was 46 minutes of silence. I think those guys should have just, they're really long gaps at the answer.
Okay, so legally, this seems pretty cut and dry to me. I will freely admit to my lack of expertise and my firm belief that the Supreme Court will let Trump do any goddamn thing he wants, especially if it's bigoted. But this lawsuit is going to try to challenge it anyway. It was filed by Washington State AG Nick Brown, and it was joined by Oregon and Minnesota. I believe Illinois is on board now as well. And in the suit, they describe Trump's efforts as, quote, attempts to dictate medical care by executive fiat, end quote, adding, quote, the order is a cruel and baseless broadside against transgender youth, their families, and the doctors and medical institutions that provide them this critical care. It is an official statement of bigotry from the president that directs agencies to openly discriminate against vulnerable youth on the basis of their transgender status and sex, end quote.
We might as well take away autonomy from everyone with a uterus, too. Oh, right, right. Backspace. Fuck your face. Okay,
yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah,
what's left?
Exactly.
And look, say what you will about gender affirming care for kids. And holy shit, do a lot of motherfuckers have a lot to say on that subject, despite a spectacular lack of expertise or even basic knowledge. But if you come out against the current standard of care that's agreed on by pretty much every major medical association in the fucking country, you should do so with the exact same confidence that you'd use to, say, deny the medical consensus on vaccines or the relationship between HIV and AIDS. And do so with the knowledge that if you're defending this bullshit anyway, you're doing so in service of a neo-Nazi overthrow of human decency.
Right. And look, some people might think it's harsh of me to say something like, if that's your opinion, you should kill yourself. But I will remind you that these people think encouraging the suicide of people you disagree with is a perfectly acceptable tactic. So we're just playing by their rules, okay? Yeah, we're just playing by their rules.
It might be legally actionable, but it is logically impeccable, Eli.
Thank you. No illusions. And in egg. Excellent news. When Donald Trump was elected in 2016, our nation's opinion columns assured us that his voters were economically insecure. And when he was elected again last year, we were told similarly that they weren't a nation of racist, sexist fascists. It was simply that the price of eggs had gotten too high for the salt of the earth Americans around us, and therefore they had no choice but to elect a racist, sexist, fascist. Well, luckily for me, the universe has a wonderful sense of irony. Idiots elected Donald Trump in 2016, and a bunch of them drowned in their own lungs of COVID. And now the oh-so-soaring price of eggs has come to hit Trump supporters where they're going to feel it the most. I'm talking, of course, about Waffle House.
We are 3 weeks into his presidency, and it has literally devolved into a fight in a Waffle House parking lot, people.
And it happened so fast and so literal with the eggs. Like, there might as well be a new pandemic that makes illegal aliens pop out of your chest like a xenomorph.
Right?
It's so specific and right away.
I like it. So for those international listeners or aliens reconstructing this podcast out of radioactive dust to figure out what happened to us, eggs are super expensive right now for a variety of reasons. Bird flu is forcing farmers to slaughter millions of chickens a month, pushing U.S. egg prices to more than double than what they cost in 2023. Transportation and shipping lines are slowed because someone threatened to conquer the Panama Canal. Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah. Donald Trump started a trade war with our country's oldest allies. Now, as we covered, he immediately lost said trade war and pretended he won, but that was still enough of a mix-em-up that experts predict egg prices will get 20% higher in the rest of the year.
Are you telling me that American rednecks will have to get their cholesterol from nothing but hamburgers, ribs, processed meats, butter, biscuits, pies, cakes, more butter, frozen pizzas, fast food, Mountain Dew, ice cream, yet more butter, and clam bakes?
Okay, well, now I'm hungry.
And loose handfuls of Crisco. I don't know.
But as I said, this week, those chickens are coming home to roost in the Heartland's favorite. I am so proud of it.
You shouldn't be, though.
But I am.
I'm going to let you have that one.
Thank you, Kanye. But yeah, those chickens are coming home to roost in the Heartland's favorite breakfastery, Waffle House, which announced a 50-cent surcharge per egg this week, driving the price of their two-egg breakfast, which comes with toast and a side, to the sky-high price of $7.75.
Yeah, anybody who's ever eaten at a Waffle House knows you don't pay the true cost at the register.
Yeah, you end up co-paying the true cost.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're
it's a negative externality.
Fantastic.
No, it's not, goddammit.
It is
not.
For you econ nerds, that's for
don't
you.
Don't let them take puns from you, no illusions. Not in these dark times.
Yes.
So you're probably wondering what Trump supporters can do to solve this crisis. Well, there's only one solution. If you voted for Donald Trump and you're sick and tired of egg prices being passed down to the little guy, go to your local Waffle House and start fighting the employees. That's right. They will be unprepared for your onslaught, and you'll show Big Waffle a thing or two for
they
sure.
They sure aren't going to fucking Neo their way out of a chair midair or anything.
And finally tonight, in QBAnon news.
Okay.
We're recording this on Super Bowl Sunday, just hours before kickoff, and everything's a dumpster fire in the news. So we're going to talk about football.
Okay.
Because it's a slightly more manageable dumpster fire, I guess.
All right. I'm going to take off a little bit early this week. I'll see you guys on skating on Thursday.
And with the Kansas City Chiefs and their superstar quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, back in the Super Bowl for a third year in a row with a chance for a three-peat, and for the sixth time in 7 years, that means there's a conspiracy, because I said numbers just
sure
now.
Did.
The nefarious plot theories are wide-ranging, or all hiding together in plain sight. And they include a secret bribe to all the referees. There's like 138 of them.
Just all of them, huh?
The Illuminati, Taylor Swift being a liberal Manchurian candidate.
Obviously.
And of course, George Soros financing the whole show for the seedy benefit of philanthropist Holocaust survivors or something.
Yeah, I still don't understand how fixing the Super Bowl cheers up the philanthropist Holocaust survivors, but who am I to question, right? Let's give it to them.
Yeah, yeah, no, getting the least interesting possible Super Bowl matchup with a projected viewership 3-4% less than the previous year should have slowed down the it's all rigged conspiracies.
You'd think.
But those are facts that exist in the real world, so they didn't. It didn't.
Yeah, you said numbers, though. It's selective, yeah. So I'll start with the part about the referees. Nope, not a thing. Not a thing at all. But the rabid theories were so aggressive that the referees union and the NFL commissioner had to make official statements last week explaining, no, that's dumb. That's so dumb. Just for the record, every single moment of the NFL season is on camera from like 19 different angles.
Mm-hmm.
And every ref gets graded on every single play all year. And only the best grades get to work the playoffs.
Let them play.
Yeah. No,
let them play.
Also, and consider what an easy thing it would be to prove this statistically, right? Does Team X get more penalties in their favor? Do they get more penalties in game crucial situations? The answer to that is no. Right. And if you think that a dedicated football fan needs more than 3 seconds to find that data online, you are new to the Internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they find really small little slices to make their arguments sometimes about that data, but that's not how it works. So everyone is just getting mad when their team loses and then they blame it on the refs like they're trying to steal an election. That's what's actually happening. And speaking of which, the Illuminati tried to steal an election. They tried to do it for Hillary in 2016 and it failed.
Oops.
So then they got a bunch of money from Soros and did COVID to give Biden the win in 2020. And then to lock it down for 2024, they got Taylor Swift to start a real fake relationship with Travis Kelce of the Chiefs. And after rigging that whole season, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl a year ago. And that's when Taylor Swift finally got famous. The plan was to have her endorse Joe Biden, but she like forgot or something. But then she eventually endorsed Kamala Harris. So nailed the plot. That was actually the theory, and it was mentioned last year by a bunch of people on the right, including Vivek Ramaswamy.
Please, Heath, I'm actually getting a little depressed. Can you read, like, CTE statistics or something?
Hey, Eli, both Trump and Taylor Swift are going to be at the game, and they're going to show Taylor way more times, and Trump is going to know that. Do you feel any better now, buddy?
Okay, Taylor, this is your opportunity to do the funniest thing ever, because every woman in that stadium will murder in the Orient Express with you. You just gotta lead the way, Tay-Tay. Lead the way. Oh, they're not gonna let her in the box? They're gonna let her in the box. If she acts like she's gonna blow him, he'll send security out of the room. Tay-Tay. Tay-Tay.
By the way, did you see that what they normally put on the field is end racism?
Yeah,
and they're erasing
took it off.
That?
Yep. Yep.
They got rid of the message of end racism because Trump is going to the game. That happened. Okay. Well, the elite cabal of secret billionaires who run the world seem to have a pretty mediocre winning percentage. And maybe that's making you a little skeptical. But there was a new twist on the big Illuminati conspiracy that got uncovered this year. And you know how they love to leave the big visible hints a lot of the time? Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what happened again. The logo for today's Super Bowl was unveiled just under a year ago. They usually release the artwork for the following year, a day after the big game. For this year's game, the logo has a fleur-de-lis as an homage to the host city of New Orleans. And here's the key. The main colors of the logo are red and green,
same
as the colors for the Chiefs and the Eagles. But wait, there's more. The logo for the Super Bowl in 2022 was orange and yellow, just like the colors for the Bengals and the Rams who played Super Bowl. Sort of. And for 2023, when it was the Chiefs and the Eagles, just like today, the logo was also red and green. And for 2024... So that's how we know the whole season is predetermined kayfabe, just like the WWE.
Well, right. Like, you remember how the Silver Surfer won Super Bowls 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 51, and 52, and 53? The all silver logos? They figured that was getting too predictable, so they started changing up the colors after that.
Yeah, it's clever.
True. That's
it's
how
clever.
They got it.
And just in case there wasn't enough stupid surrounding the Super Bowl and American politics, Donald Trump decided to smush them together by telling a very obvious lie last week about Senator Tommy Tuberville, who used to be a football coach, and Patrick Mahomes was also part of the lie. It happened during a press conference about Trump's executive order banning trans girls and women from participating in girls and women's sports. Side note, Tuberville did his own press appearance about that on Newsmax and said, "I'm sick and tired of the NCAA and some of these organizations playing dictator. And there is no dictatorship here except for Donald Trump saying this is not going to happen."
Woof. Hey, guys, you remember when they decided that Trump was too polarizing and stupid to own an NFL team, so they decided to let him have the country instead? You remember that?
That was funny.
Something less important.
So, yeah, here's the very easily checkable lie from Donald Trump. During his press conference, he decided to weave it up and tell a story about talking with Tuberville about Patrick Mahomes, the QB for the Chiefs. Trump said, quote, "Tommy Tuberville, a great coach. You know, his quarterback was named Mahomes." And I said to Tommy, "How good was he?" Tommy said, "You don't want to know how good. He made me into a great coach." End quote. But, okay, here's the problem. Tuberville did coach at Texas Tech, where Mahomes went to school. But Tuberville never coached Mahomes. He missed Mahomes by 2 years. But that didn't stop Tuberville from sharing the video of Trump telling that lie story on Twitter and writing, "Thank you, Mr. President, for standing up for women's sports."
Which I assume he thinks is being threatened by known time traveler Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, these Allstate commercials are getting fucking weird.
They are. Thank you.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
This means one of two things. Either A, Trump made up an entire conversation and Tommy Tuberville's a coward, or B, B, Tuberville made up a time warp lie during an actual conversation with Donald Trump, and then Trump repeated it, and Tuberville's a coward. So, good times.
Well, or there's actually a hybrid of this where Trump actually asked him how good Mahomes was as a quarterback, and Tuberville was such a fucking chicken shit that he couldn't be like, well, actually, I didn't coach him. That was a couple of years later, which is like, it creates the cowardice and idiocy for both. So I'm going to go with that one.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, they're both liars either way. So that, I think that's solid.
Secret answer C.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to No Illusions. Thanks to Eli Bosnick. And thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening and please keep telling your friends. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like all the generous new donors, you will be complimented next time around. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D-, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that pianist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you are today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off.
We could do the clap. He said, fucking himself to death.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and the Thunderstorm LLC, copyright 2025, all rights reserved.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.